Please, for our first reading, and that will be found in Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God, a psalm of David. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced, and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha! Aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In this first psalm, I hope you understand that David is speaking of a particular point in his own history, but he is also speaking for us all universally. That there is an application to be made to all of us, and the application is this, and I hope you caught it, that our enemies do not sleep. The enemy of our soul does not sleep. He is always devising devices against us. David recognizes in the looking about at his troubles and the enemies that are risen up against him, and it could be that he's speaking here of Saul, perhaps he's speaking of Absalom even. But he is taking that particular circumstance where worldly, fleshly enemies are risen up against him, and he uses it in such a way that it has application to his soul, to his spirit. He's not simply asking for earthly deliverance here. He is asking for a particular spiritual deliverance. And that kind of spiritual deliverance is something we all ought to be asking for at all times. Our enemies do not sleep. The world, the flesh, and the devil are ever active against us. One of those enemies, our own flesh, is an enemy even from within. It's like having a traitor within the camp, within the gates. The world has a particular kind of attraction because it presents to you things that appear desirable, things that appear profitable, excuse me, things that appear helpful and wealthy and contributing to your health and well-being. Of course, we know that they don't. The devil, well, he's described in Scripture as a roaring lion. He's described also as deceptive. He appears as an angel of light. He doesn't come with a big D on his forehead or a red suit and a pitchfork. He comes in the most desirable of appearances. These enemies, brothers and sisters, they never sleep. They lay in wait. Notice they dig pits. These snares are hidden snares. These traps are not open to view. And so we are in need of protection. And this is how David interprets the events around him. And he says to God, O Lord my God, say to my soul, Thou art my salvation. If I can speak in earthly terms for a moment, what chance do you have? What chance do we have against the world, the flesh, and the devil? In case you didn't get it, that's a rhetorical question. The answer is none. We have no strength. We are outmatched by any one of those enemies. And yet they confederate their forces together, don't they? And they build upon one another. All right, so in looking upon those earthly enemies, David says several things. Notice he says, confound them, put them to shame, turn them back, bring them to confusion, scatter them as chaff before the wind, make them the pursued of the Lord, make their way dark and slippery, full of uncertainty and fear, make them the persecuted of the Lord, and let them fall into their own devices. Now that's good counsel. Good thing to pray when you are pursued by an earthly enemy. What about a spiritual enemy? Well, the same is true. We ought to pray that the Lord would defeat those enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we would learn how to flee from temptation, not to be attracted by their dainty things. so that they have no power, no strength over us. You remember what Jesus said the night he was betrayed. He said, "The prince of this world cometh," and what? "And he has nothing in me." This is our captain. This is who we follow. This is that greater David who has no weakness. We must follow him. And so we pray that the Lord would cut off the knees of our enemies, that he would break out their teeth. These imprecations here, we desire that the Lord would indeed destroy the strength of our enemy and inflame our strength to follow him. Psalm 35 reminds us of all of these things, especially the first, about 12 verses. All right, so then in verse 13, this is a very interesting turn. David looks upon his enemies and he said, you know, they've been mocking, they've been deriding, they have been rapacious, they have been injurious. But you know what my behavior was? It wasn't vengeance at all. Brothers and sisters, let me just say it this way. When we find that vengeance is rising up in our souls, rising up in our minds, so that we have a mindset of vengeance. And you know what vengeance is. Vengeance can take many forms. Sometimes it's just, well, we just want them to get what's coming to them. Do we really? Do we want what's coming to us? Really? It's not loving our neighbor as ourselves, is it? And so notice what David says as he looked upon those earthly enemies. He says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth." In other words, I was afflicted with their afflictions. And here, most particularly, we see in David, as we keep one eye on David and one eye on Christ, we see Christ, if you remember, while he was on the cross, those enemies are wagging their heads, mocking him and saying, "Come down from the cross if you be the Christ." And what is Jesus saying? Do you remember? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is the, can I say it this way, Christian mindset toward our enemies. Remember what the Apostle Paul says, quoting from the book of Proverbs, I think 24, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink." Don't seek vengeance. Vengeance belongs unto God. And you understand why vengeance belongs unto God? Because every wrongdoing, every act of wrongdoing is primarily, first and foremost, against him. And when we arrogate vengeance to ourselves, we pridefully rise up in the room of God and we put our own hurt above God's offense. And we must never do that. And so David says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother," that is my enemy. "I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother." And notice how David continued, although, look at their response, "But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together." They gathered themselves together against me. How long are we required to keep up good behavior and good works when people are doing us wrong? Forever. That's all. Just forever. When someone else misbehaves, it does not give us leave to misbehave. I hope you see that. Now, that's some good pastoral direction. Because in many quarters today, even among Christian circles, we hear things like what Jonah said to the Lord up on the mountain when he had lost his gourd, literally, when he said to the Lord, "I do well to be angry." Really? Do we do well to be selfishly angry? No. No. "Oh, but you don't understand. They mistreated me." Does that give you leave to be angry? Brothers and sisters, the answer must always be no. Did you know that no one makes you sin? No one makes you do evil? You do that. When you say, "He or she made me mad." No, he or she presented before you an occasion to be angry and you willingly took it up. That's really what's going on there. So, in that section then, it's very clear what the proper, the spiritual response is to those who are our enemies. That is kindness, care. Now, I'm not talking about giving arms to our enemies. I hope you understand that. But I am talking about having human compassion for them. I am talking about that. All right, so then in the last section, verses 17 through the end, once again, the psalmist commits his case to the Lord. He has confidence in God's knowledge of his plight. He has confidence in God's justice. And he has confidence that the Lord will rectify this injustice in his own good time. And I guess this is the hardest part for us. David relegates himself here to patience with God's timing for rectifying the situation. Patience. Psalmist prays for encouragement from his companions and friends. And did you... I hope you saw that David acknowledges his need for companionship and friendship, encouragement and support in times of difficulty. And so this is good instruction to us to be of that kind of service and to receive that kind of service in hard times. And then once again, he lists the persecutions he is undergoing. And finally, then, he is confident in the Lord's deliverance and of his publishing of that deliverance. The last verse reads, "My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." Thus ends the reading of Psalm 35. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.